There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
I got a face for radio, not for TV, but we'll do the best we can. We're glad you're with us. We were going to have a guest join us, but so far he hasn't shown up. So we'll do our best to fill the air, hopefully with some wisdom, some teaching, some instruction. I've been a pastor now for close to 50 years. I said radio over 31 years. We do a radio show three nights a week, Monday through Wednesday, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. All over the country, or different radio stations, shortwave, internet, all over the world, actually. And you can check it out if you want to, find out where we are at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. If you go to pastorbutch.com, you can find out how to listen to us on different stations. We're on WACN in the Northwest. We cover the whole Northwest section of the country over the weekend through with three broadcasts. But feel free to go on and check out pastorbutch.com and see where we are. I don't know. I don't know the format with Rob all the time. So I was with him one time several months ago. We'll do our best to just discuss a few things, and maybe if you want to join us somehow, but going and linking up with us, I have no idea how that works. I have a toll free number on my radio show that people can join us with, but with you all, I have no idea. I'm sure that you probably know if you watch the TV program, you know what to do. So anyway, you watch the intro to the program, and you saw, and the song was a very good song, by the way. I mean, this mass confusion and chaos and anger and frustration and so much going on right now in this country and around the world. But I live in America. I can't answer for Russia or Ukraine or anybody else. I live in America. I don't approve of what we're doing in some places around the world and getting involved in wars you shouldn't be involved in. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran myself. That was a wrong move on my part, but I didn't know at the time. I was 19 years old, and what do I know at 19? So I went in with honorable intentions, figured out later on what happened, and it makes me angry now. I lost friends over there, and nothing came out of it except somebody made some money, and that's about what it boils down to. But many years have passed since then, obviously, and I've learned a lot over the years. I like to think I did. I become a Christian the last Wednesday night in June in 1971. And I'm in November of 71, I married my pretty half. We've been married almost 53 years now, so I guess it might work out. We hope it does. But nonetheless, I've tried to learn truth and knowledge and pass on to people that will listen to us. And I've seen this after being on the radio so many years and all over internet on Rumble and other places. And not a lot of people want to hear the truth. They listen, but they hear, but they don't listen to us, put it that way. They like to hear the latest news, the latest stories and different situations, but they don't want to take it to their heart and do something about it or get involved in it. And I find that to be true a lot of the church in America today. The church in America today as a whole are figureheads. That's about all I see in them. And I know people get angry when I say it, but I can't help it. It's true. If the church were truly the church today, this nation would be in such a hell of a mess right now. They wouldn't tolerate it. I'm guilty. For many years, I had no idea. I mean, I almost worshiped the Constitution, Bill of Rights. We're going to go back to that. Folks, until you go back to Christ, you can't go back to the Constitution, Bill of Rights. It won't work. Without Christ, nothing will last. Obviously, that's true. If the Constitution and Bill of Rights could save us, we wouldn't be in this mess. But it can't. Unless we live by the laws of God, no government will stay together in a godly form to give people their liberties and freedoms unless they're willing to stand for them and do what make and demand that the leaders do what's right. But I don't see it happening today. I see a very callous, careless regard by most people. And again, most of them are Christians that I see this from. And it breaks my heart to know that because I have six grandchildren and three great-grandsons, and I see what's happening in this world, in this nation. I never thought I'd live to see a day when a boy didn't know whether he's a boy or not, or a girl didn't know the girl or not. I had no idea I'd ever see that. I mean, who could have thought this back in the way before most of y'all are born, back in the 50s and 60s? How would he ever dream that someday they'd have confusion about how many sexes there were? I get offended when I do a fill out a form. What pronoun do you prefer? There's only two. I know which one I am. I looked in the mirror many years ago. I'm not equipped for one of them. Is that a fair statement? I think so. So I don't know what else to say, but how did we get here? What happened to a nation that when I grew up, went to school, and in public schools, they still taught, we learned phonics. I can actually read and spell. I know that's unheard of today. And I can actually write a letter in cursive. I can do math in my head a little bit. That's almost a forgotten thing today. That's almost unheard of. Unless they have a phone in front of them, a computer in front of them, they can't count change in a restaurant. How did we get here? I'm gonna sum it up in just a few words. They get more detail. We forgot God. We turned their backs on the Word of God. The eternal laws of the Word of God and the Ten Commandments and these teachings of morality have been forgotten. Without morality, you can't build an individual life. Without morality, you can't build a home. Without morality, you can't build a nation. Now, that to me is so simple. Confusion comes whenever someone doesn't know whether what sex they are. They don't know that sex before marriage in the Bible is called fornication. It's they're worthy of death. They don't understand what adultery is. They don't understand what homosexuality is. They don't. That's all that's been taken away from them, placed in the public fool system, where they've been taught there is no God. They come from monkeys, and I believe some of them did. But anyway, with all sincerity, folks, it breaks my heart beyond words. The point of tears. Now, I'm 75 years old. I've seen a lot of change in my lifetime. Most of it not for the better. I'm not, there's been some great improvements on many things. I guess cars are better equipped than they last longer. And we have a lot of conveniences. We have too many conveniences, in my opinion. I wish I never invented a computer or cell phone, but they did. The cell phone has become a device to enslave people with from ages 2 or 3 right on up to their die. That their minds don't work any longer because no one thinks. They just go to their cell phone, scan the cell phone. You go to a restaurant, watch a family together eating out, and everybody's on a cell phone or text somebody. Folks, it breaks my heart. It does. We have lost all sense of decency, manners, courtesy to other people. It's gotten to be, it's all about us. We've all become pretty much a nation of selfish individuals who think the world revolves around them. I mean, that's a narcissist is a good word for it. Narcissist is a good word for it. We've all got in the stage now that it's all about me. I don't need to worry about anybody else. I'm going to do what I want to do. If I offend somebody, that's too bad. But you see, as a Christian, if I speak the truth, I offend a lot of people, and they can be offended. But if they offend me, I'm not supposed to say anything. If I say anything, I'm a hater. I'm a racist. I'm a bigot. I'm anti-Semite. I'm all kinds. I've been called many names, some I won't say on the radio. I've had tires fall off my car. I've had tie rods come loose, both of them at the same time driving down the highway. I've had things happen. Yeah, I have. But I refuse to be afraid to speak the truth. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I'm not trying to offend people. I truly am not. I'm trying to get them to listen to the truth for their sake and their children's sake. The sad part I see today is that parents that are my age or the generation after me, they're not really parents. They might be some of my caretakers, but they're not really parents. They don't teach. They don't guide. They want to be the friends of the children, not the parents of the children. But we've been so deceived for so long in so many different directions, it's hard to admit. It's hard for me to admit, too. I'm only a man. I am a man. I tell you now that I'm a man. Don't guess by me. That's who I am. I don't have any other name but Pastor Butch. Well, I have other names, but I'm still a man, no matter what. You can't change. I can't change that fact. I don't want to change that fact. But I see things now that in my lifetime that I've tolerated that shouldn't have been tolerated. I see now in my lifetime things that I was brought into from birth that I didn't know was wrong until it was too late to change it. A lot of things I see what happened is what's happened to us. You know, I've learned one huge thing over the last several years, and it really bothers me because I'm guilty, and I'm still guilty of it because I can't do much about it. We become, as a people, and God help us, his people, God's people have done this, have become so entangled with man, man's benefits, man's welfare cases, man's ways of taking care of ourselves, that we turn our back on God and turn to man for a need. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, read it sometime. It says, cursed be the man that puts his trust in man. I'm going to read to you, make sure I get it exactly right. I don't want to mess it up. I got it memorized, but I don't trust my memory all the time. Cursed be the man, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. What's that mean, preacher? That means whenever we put our trust in man, provide our needs, and take care of us, watch over us, and we depend on man, we curse ourselves. How do you become a slave? How do you become a slave? Depend on somebody else to take care of you. And somebody else got to feed you and clothe you and house you. Guess who gets to be your boss? I reared three sons in my home. They're all adults now, and all of them are three decent men. But in my house is my rules. I fed them, I clothed them, I housed them, and I expected my rule to be followed to the T. Well, when you're being provided for by man or man's provisions, man's benefits, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, HUD, all the other things, food stamps, when you depend on man to feed you, clothe you, and house you, guess who gets to be your boss? And if you don't do that, if you don't follow the rules, you lose your benefits, don't you? I'm guilty, folks. I'm 75 years old. I'm retarded, but I'm retired too. So anyway, I've been away for a while, and I need what I have coming in to feed my wife and myself. But that wasn't the way it's supposed to be. You know, in Exodus, I'm going to read this to you so you know I'm not making it up. Exodus. We're going to go to chapter 34, and verse 14 says, for thou shalt worship no other god. Let me make a point here. Whoever you obey is your God. If it goes against God's laws, if you obey man over God's laws, then that man becomes your idol. Is that a fair statement? If you knowingly, willfully go against the laws of God to obey a man, man becomes your God. He said, thou shalt worship no other gods. Now pay attention to this. For the Lord whose name is Jealous, capital J, is a jealous God. Do you think he wrote that just to fill the page? Or was there a point behind it? Do you think he wrote that there just to say, okay, this sounds good, I'll just add it to the scripture here so people can read it and be entertained by it? Or do you think he really meant it? We provoked God Almighty to jealousy. I'm guilty too, folks. I'm not throwing stones. Please, I'm not throwing stones. It started long before you and I were born. Started under communism under Roosevelt. And that's when it started with Social Security and other benefits. Of course, when they did that, they also put us on a currency without any backing. They took the gold standard away in 1913-14, took away the gold standard, put us on the Federal Reserve, took away our ability to feed our families without being taxed first. They did all that, but we accepted their benefit. We get Social Security out of that. No, we don't need God now. We got Social Security. You don't need farmers. You got Kroger's. You see the link? This is where we are. And we wonder why people are so quiet when they see almost 100 million babies murdered in the womb. We see states now actually ratifying constitutional amendments so people can murder their children. What happened to the moral backbone of America? There's a word called compromise that disgusts me, but if I've done it and you've done it, we've all done it. Compromise is a gateway to hell. That's what it boils down to. Compromise is a gateway to destruction. You see, God's laws are not suggestions. They're laws. And if you ignore his laws, compromise his laws, try to change his laws at all when it comes to morality. I'm not talking about their ceremonial laws. I don't go out and slaughter sheep anymore. I don't have to go to the high priest and have him dressed in certain costumes to go before God before me. I'm talking about the moral laws of God. When you compromise those moral laws, whether thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, whatever it may be. When you compromise those laws and tolerate those laws, toleration is a gateway to hell also. That's what's worse than compromise. To tolerate it means you know better, but you tolerate anyway. And John Wesley one time said, that which you tolerate today will embrace tomorrow. How in the name of God do we start embracing sexual deviance and call it okay? What happened? Where did we, as a that's supposed to be Christians, where did we learn to tolerate that? Is it in the Word of God we tolerate that? No, it's not. You're not finding it in the Word of God anywhere. God's law says what to do with people who break those commandments. He said it very clearly. He didn't stutter. He didn't stammer. He said what to do with them. But see, we're smarter than God. We're more merciful than God. I spoke one time, it's been several years ago, to a child molester. And he told me, he said, I don't want to be out of jail because I can't help what I'm doing. I'll do it again. Now, that should tell us something, that when the child molester realizes that he can't be cured from doing these things, he said, don't turn me loose because I can't get over this. Now, I'm not saying that God can't deliver him. I'm not saying that at all. But he said that he couldn't trust himself to go back into society. Yet we, because we're much better than God, much wiser than God, we say, turn him loose. Let him serve 4, 5, 6 years. Turn him back into society so they can rape another child or do another murder. But see, that isn't what God taught us in the scriptures. How come we got so much smarter than God? I mean, I'm asking a serious question. When do we become smarter and wiser than God himself? What happened to the people that one time said we won't tolerate this in our society? You know, it's changed so much in my lifetime. Now, I was growing up. I grew up in a little town called Montreville, West Virginia. It's an old coal mining camp. They had one couple there. I remember they called the girl Inky. I have no idea why. I'm just a little boy. And they started shacking up. What they call today cohabitation. Bible calls it fornication. A little town, which were not all Christians, but they wouldn't tolerate it. They said, you either get married or leave the town. And guess what they did? They left the town. Well, that's hard, harder, preacher. No, it kept that sin from among us. So the children didn't grow up and see those people doing that and getting by with it, and the people tolerating it. Is that a clear point? Betty just chimed in and said, look at Jude 1:4. And it's a very good scripture. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the holy Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, that is true. Very good scripture, Betty. Thank you. Very good, very good. And those people are behind the pulpits. Ooh, that hurt. You know, the Bible tells us that Satan has ministers behind pulpits. You know what's in your Bible? He appears as a minister of light. He has ministers behind pulpits in America. What do you think happens when you tell a young individual, well, it's okay if you want to live together outside of marriage, come and join the church anyway and be part of us, and we'll be all right. The Methodist Church just took out the words against homosexuality out of their bylaws. They just took them out not too long ago, a week or two ago. Finally, they've ignored it for years, but they finally took it out. The Methodist Church, founded by John Wesley, who said, that which you embrace today will tolerate tomorrow. They took it out of their bylaws. And now it's fully embraced by the United Methodist Church. A lot of these Methodist churches broke off from the assembly, and then God bless them for that. But what happened? How did it get to the point that they would even consider tolerating that? Where did we lose that? When we started listening to the talking heads on TV and the penny-waisted preachers behind the pulpits in America, that's when it started. That's when it started. We started trying to reason our way through, well, should I be angry with that or should I tolerate that? Oh, I know. I just love them. I'll just tell them it's okay. It's okay. You're okay. I'm okay. We'll live like hell and go to heaven. That's taught. That's called once saved, always saved. Once you go up, shake preacher's hand, do what you want to, you're all right. That's America today. That's a church in America today. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Since I've been preaching almost 50 years, at least 45 years, I've never seen such a falling away as I have in the last 20 years. And you're right, babe. Lukewarm people. And I want to say this, though, then we'll move on to something else. Do you know that if you're not hot for Christ, if you're lukewarm, he said, I'll vomit you up. Oh, I go to church three nights a week and I give money in the collection and I support missionaries. But my son's a homosexual and I'm in the house anyway. I believe that'd be called lukewarm. I really do. I really mean that. You know, I am not a perfect man by any means. I'm so far from perfect. Yes, my wife, she'll tell you, get your legal pad and pen and start writing. She'll fill you in real fast. But my boys knew limits in this home. They knew the limits. There was no alcoholic beverages in this house allowed. I don't care what your reasoning of this. I will not allow it in my home. And I'm the head of the house. I make the decisions. They wouldn't dare come in here with a girlfriend, God forbid a boyfriend, and would come here and stay with us. It doesn't work that way. And see, you see, I messed up so bad. All three of my boys are Christians. Well, I'm still single, Bobby, ladies. If you're looking, he's 45 years old. But anyway, I did my best to teach them right. And now my middle son, my oldest son has four youngins, three boys and a girl. One of them graduating next week in Colorado. And they're all decent children. My middle son has two adult children now. His oldest grandchild, a girl named Madison, just gave me two great grandsons. They've been reared in the home, going to be homeschooled. They're not getting vaccination. And her brother and his wife just found out she's expected in November, and they're going to do the same thing. Now, this is not bragging on me, not at all. It's all in the Word of God. All glory to God. But because I tried to instruct my children, they passed on to their children. Isn't that a good idea? What happened? Well, I can't run my boy off just because he's shacking up. I can't just tell him to come back to my house and still live in that kind of life. Why can't you? The prodigal son took off on his own. The father did not go after him. He had a funeral for him. He was dead to him. He didn't go looking for that boy. The boy came back to him, broken, sorrowful. And the daddy accepted him back in his home because he loved him. But he had a funeral for that boy. He was dead to him. He didn't tolerate him going out and living in the world and come back and living in the world and bring it back to his home. He wouldn't do it. So I guess we're better than the Bible example, aren't we? We become so soft, we don't understand what real love is any longer. Love is not that fuzzy, wuzzy little feeling you get inside. That's not what love is. Oh, you know, we all get that fuzzy, wuzzy stuff. Emotions. Emotions by themselves are very dangerous. Y'all know that? I mean, how many times, and I'm saying this, I've counseled both boys and girls, but most especially young girls. Well, I'm pregnant because I loved him. I trusted him. They're not married, but I'm pregnant because I loved him and I want to give myself to him. Now I've got a baby and he's gone. That's called emotion. That wasn't love. That's called lust. There's a big difference there, folks. A big difference. And that's what breaks my heart to see today, that we live in a society that it becomes so accepting of evil and outright sin because they don't want to run our family away from us. Well, what are you going to do? Run which you're going to run into hell number one, hell number two, hell number three. Where are you sending them? Unless you set a standard, where do they know where right ends and wrong begins? Is that making sense at all? You know, I keep saying this. Please, I'm just a hillbilly. I'm a hillbilly from West Virginia. I barely speak English. And I talk funny. I know that. But that's okay. That's who I is. I do the best I can. But folks, I like to thank that God, by his grace, give me some wisdom and common sense to go by his word and see these things. If you have children at home right now, they're living like hellions, and you tolerate it, the fault is not theirs. The fault is yours. The fault is yours. You know, my mom and daddy were old-fashioned. My mom would take a switch and play Dixie in my butt. She did more than once. Thank you over the hill for the comment. I mean, she could, me, my brother and I, we weren't really mean. We're just boys. But I did learn that when she calls to the house for a switch, and I put him through the door first, so he got most of the licks. So anyway, I'm pretty smart on that. My daddy had to whip me three times all my life, and I deserved every one of them. But I learned to respect my parents. And if I didn't respect them, I learned to fear them. Because Dad would not tolerate backtalk. He would not tolerate disrespect. Isn't that old-fashioned? Wasn't that silly of him? Why couldn't I have a beer and go out and borrow the car, for goodness sake? They were such different people back then. You know, they expected me to wear, well, I went to school and bro, the boys, believe it or not, the boys had to wear pants at school. And the shirt tails had to be tucked in. They couldn't have the collars turned up. Their hair couldn't touch back there, down the collar. Girls had to wear dresses to school. Now, isn't that really weird? Now, they could wear pants to the under their dress to school in the wintertime, but take them off to get to school, but they had to wear dresses to school. Gee, what a backward society we had back then. But you know, I know that back then the girls were girls that could tell difference. I mean, they looked prettier, smelled better than boys did. That much I knew. And yes, I got one that said the families are fatherless, that they had no fathers. And even if they have men present, they're not always fathers. They may say that they might be a father, but not the daddy, okay? They may be the biological father of the child, but they're not the daddy of the child. Anyone can sire a child. It takes a man to raise a child. And I'm going to say this at the risk of making people mad. Again, imagine that, me making somebody mad. I do it with my wife all the time. But anyway, my wife and I sometimes didn't see eye to eye on discipline because I come in with logic and emotion, or logic and Bible, and she come in with a bit of emotion. And we do balance each other out. Believe me, that's true. But when the final decisions come down to what to do, I had to be willing to make it. Who did God point to head the house? Did he not put a point man to be head of the house? Now, I know the circumstances where daddy's not there, maybe he died or whatever. I understand that. I'm talking about in a home where all parts of the family there, father and mother, male and female father and mother. Not like Pete Buttigieg out of Illinois, I believe it is. I said Buttigieg. I didn't stutter. Is he a daddy or a mommy? I can't remember which now. But anyway, that's totally out of order, totally wrong, and totally a blasphemy before God. So when I grew up, I had a mom was a female, a dad that was a male, and me and my brother. And we knew who we were. And we knew the rules of the house. Because they were not afraid to discipline us, we grew up, we didn't steal, we didn't get drunk, we didn't smoke, never started those habits by the grace of God and good parents. We never tried to shame them or do anything to make them feel, be sorry for us or feel ashamed of us. And I'm just so thankful that I had an old place for mom and dad. Yeah, I get tears in my eyes. I get a little emotional. I can't help it. My dad passed away in 2016, 91 years old. Mom passed away at age 16 and 95. And I miss him every day. I miss him every day. No matter how old you get, your dad's still your dad and mom's still your mom. And I missed their wisdom, even though I was an adult man. Dad would sometimes say, well, you're the man now. You got to figure it out. But I still ask his opinion. My dad's opinion always mattered to me. It did. But now we live in a country where nothing seems to matter. Nothing seems to matter anymore. It's a me generation that started many years ago. We have a nation today that's filled with people that are narcissists. You know, I did a teaching one time on sin, S-I-N. Excuse me, while I wipe again. I'm so sorry. I try not to get emotional, but I can't help it. It breaks my heart to see what's happening. S-I-N. You know what that stands for? Self-indulgent narcissist. Sin is all about the individual, all about him, all about me. I don't give a hoot, and you know where, what other people think. It makes me feel good. I'm going to do it. It's called sin. It's selfish. It's indulgent. And it makes you a narcissist. You don't care about anybody else but yourself. That's sin. I don't care. I don't care what it hurts my mom or dad or brother or sister or who it hurts. But you see, we don't understand sometimes that a little sin, Bible says a little sin, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. When you tolerate that much sin, it'll permeate the whole society. And it expands. And it grows. You know, you read the book of Amos sometime. You should read the book of Amos. You hear about the plumb line. He said, I put the plumb line before you, Israel. He said, I put the plumb line before you. It's back to compromise, the producer said. You're right, Jonathan. It's back to compromise. He said, I put the plumb line before you. I'm setting the plumb line, and I'm not coming back by anymore. The plumb line is there, and I'm not going to move it. So don't say that's up. You go by your own peril. The plumb line's there. I'm not coming back to reset it. That's where it is. That's where it's staying. Now, I don't know if you ever worked as a carpenter, but most of you know what a plumb line is, I think. Most people do. A plumb line is to make sure you have a straight line all the way down. And if you start on the plumb line and down the way, you vary a quarter of an inch, say a foot down the line, and going from there, you'll be off a foot by 30 foot down the road. The plumb line cannot be moved and expect to come out with a perfect ending. It can't happen. Yet we have done that. In my own family, I've had children shacking up with two or three people before they ever got married. And they call themselves Christians. Well, I believe in Jesus. Big deal. So does the devil. He believes more than you do. He's seen him. He's fought with him. Well, I believe in God. Big deal. Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, what do you mean? Just what I said. If you're not obeying him, you don't love him. Back to who's your God today? Is man the one you obey over God? We've all done it. COVID was a good example of that. That COVID pandemic, a scam-demic, was a big part of that. Line up and get your shots now. Get your shots. You get shot, you never get COVID. Oh, lied to you up and down one side or the other. Well, now you got to wear that mask. You got to stay 6 foot apart. Don't you dare go home with your family and have Thanksgiving dinner. Who the heck do you think you are? Tell me I can't go be my family. Who do you think you are? You're not my God. I told the governor that. Our governor had that, these churches should not get together. Well, he sent a picture of our church group. I mailed it to the governor. I said, you're not my boss. You're not my God. What are you going to do about it? They did nothing about it. You go into stores and they have a sign up, no more than three people at one time. I see people standing outside. I go around them and go in the store. I am not playing their games. They're not my God. I'm not scared of a virus. Can I make it any clearer than that, Betty? Am I doing all right on this? I can't play this game. I won't play this game. I refuse to walk in fear.
You're doing terrific.
Well, thank you. I refuse to walk in fear. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that fear is of Satan. It's not of God. Now, I'm not saying I always walk in pure bravery, but I know my God's with me no matter where I go. And no matter what happens, Romans 8, 28 says, for we know that all things work together for them that love, work together for good to them that love God, and who are the, that the in there, the called according to his purpose. What do I care? What do I care what man thinks about me? They just said the fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. That's true. It's also beginning of knowledge. You know, y'all remember in the scriptures about Christ in the garden. I know you read that. He went in there and said, Father, if it's any way possible, I don't want to do this. He actually sweat drops of blood. I would call that anguish, wouldn't you? I would call that anguish. Now, John, if you have to take a break, you can let me know. I'm just going to go until you tell me shut up. Okay, all right. He actually sweat drops of blood. He said, Father, I don't want to have to go through this. Is there any other way we can do this? And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Even Christ in the flesh felt pain. Don't you think he felt the whip on his back? Don't you think he felt the whip? How about the crown of thorns and plucked his beard out of his face? Don't you think he felt the whip? He said that he was so mired, you couldn't recognize him as a man. Yet he did it. Well, he knew who he served. He served his Father. Do you know we serve the same God? The same one delivered Daniel from the lion's den, the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. The same one to give Jonathan and his armor bearer a victory over 20-2 odds with the Philistines. We serve the same God. But on the other hand, in Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find where many miracles are done in the name of God. We find Noah and we find Rahab and all the miracles done. People raised people from the dead. But in the same chapter, it says some of them are sawn asunder. They were destitute. They lived in caves. They had nothing. The same faith that brought forth all those heroes, you call in the Bible, sustained those who lost everything. May I suggest sometimes it'd be easier to be a hero, we call a hero, than would it be one to lose everything? Have you ever thought about that? And these people were actually slaughtered for the cause of Christ. They had no place to live. They lived in caves. They were destitute. They had nothing. And the faith that sustained Noah and Rahab and Moses, the same faith that sustained them to the end, because they had a better promise of a better place to go one day. And we whine because somebody gets mad at us. Oh, we hurt their feelings. And I feel so sorry because I hurt their feelings. And I made my mommy or my daddy, my brother, sister, my cousin mad. If I'm preaching the Bible and it makes you mad, that's good. I'm going to tell you why. I either want you to be glad or mad. I prefer you were glad when you hear it. That means you're walking the right way. If you get mad, at least I got two you're thinking about it. You understand that? So I want you to be mad or glad. I don't want the in-between. That means I'm not reaching you. I want to reach your heart. I'm not aiming for your toes, folks. I'm aiming for your heart. It's got to be, thanks, Betty, it's got to be what it is or it's not at all. If this book is not our law, our moral compass, then we have no compass and we have no law. Law is not relevant. Law doesn't change with man's thoughts. It's not something that should be changed every day. You see, we have in this country today, we have a big religion. No, you say, we don't have religion in America. We try to keep religion out of America. Folks, that's impossible. You cannot keep religion out of politics. You cannot keep religion out of your life. You can't do it. Everyone bases their life and how they act in life, what they think in life, on a religion of some kind. Whether it might be Buddhism, Hinduism, maybe Muslim, it might be just humanism. But anything outside of Christ is Satanism. Woo! And that's right. Deanne says God, not religion. That's right. He's a walk of faith. That's true. But I'll make this point. Please don't think that you're going to have a government that's going to base their laws totally on a non-biased opinions. Impossible. As they just said, we walk in a relationship with God Almighty. We do a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship. He's my Savior and my Master. I'm a joint heir with Christ. This blesses me no end. Romans chapter 8 says I'm a joint heir. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it now. I never will deserve it. His grace made it work. And his blood shed on Calvary. But you see, these are things we seem to forgot. We seem to forgot all those over the years. You know, for the folks my age, I really hate it. I do. But for my grandchildren, and now my great-grandchildren, it makes me sick. And more than that, it makes me angry. That my generation, and I'm saying this biblically, was so damn stupid. I mean damn in the sense not known the Bible. We allow this to happen. I told you back when I was in school, grade school, in high school even, girls had looked like girls and boys had looked like boys. In the 1960s, I remember this. They came out with something called unisex clothing. Y'all remember unisex clothing? They started dressing alike. Boys could wear what looked like girls, bell-bottom pants, different things. They started growing their hair longer, and girls started looking like boys. And, oh, that's great. I mean, we're all unisex. Unisex means one sex. What's happened since then? What's happened since then? Betty said we're allowed too little time. We were allowed too little time. And we accepted a little time, didn't we? You see, what's happened to us is we didn't see it wrong because it's unisex clothing. The whole fad, the fad then was do this, that's okay. The children started doing it. College kids started doing it. And what did the church do? Overall, over a period of time, the same thing. That's America today. And now it's got so convoluted, twisted, and totally out of shape and like God's will. Then we have children who think they're cats and demand litter boxes in schools. Whose fault's that? It's not their fault. And Deanne just said, those of us, Christ, they went off too quick. I lost too quick. I'm sorry, Deanne. Send that again. It is not the children's fault that they're in this hellish mess. It's the parents and the parents' parents. Understand that, folks. You can scream all day long at the children, and they're wrong, and they need to be corrected. But by the time they're in their 20s, it's awful hard to turn them around. The time to start teaching when they're at home in diapers. Showing them love and concern and discipline. Let's see what I say here real quick. I'm going to start putting glasses on. Oh, yeah. This is what Christ, yeah, that's right. You're right, Deanne. We sat back. We didn't want to cause any trouble. We didn't want to be the one that stirred the waters up and everybody mad at us. We don't want to be the example of righteousness in a world full of evil. Y'all said this many times. Sometimes as a Christian, you feel like a June bug in a chicken coop. Everybody's after you. And you're right, one sheep follows another, and pretty soon they're all going down the same road. That's the way it is. But if you're pleasing the world, guess who you're not pleasing? Christ, I think, said that the world hated him, and it's going to hate us if we follow him. If the world loves you, you're none of his. If the world system loves you, you're none of his. I'm trying to reach past Ken. Yeah. Deanne said the people don't want you to make trouble. They tell you it should make trouble. Oh, yes. I got to ask you this question. Did they crucify Christ because he was non-controversial? Did they crucify him because he tickled ears? Did they crucify him because he compromised with evil? See, by the way, it wasn't the Romans that crucified him. It was his own people. The tribe of Judah and the ones that lived in Jerusalem, which were Judah and Benjamin and Levi, they crucified him. Not the church, the quote church today, crucified Christ. I'm telling you the truth. He was hated by them. Do you know sometimes who your worst enemies are? The ones who go to church. Well, you're right. In Proverbs chapter 6, tell about some things that God hates. We'll find also in Scripture that word to hate with perfect hatred, but we're to hate with perfect hatred those that hate God. Oh, but that's not Christian, preacher. Don't you know you're supposed to love everybody? Let them come into your church and just hug them up and give them a hot dog, make them feel good. That's how we can go to church where these mega church preachers teach this love and never judge type of thing. We can name names. I never watch them, so I may not be able to name any of them because I don't follow them. But we have some out there that are just absolutely phenomenal preachers. I mean, they have crowd by tens of thousands. I mean, they got three or four jets. They got one named Duplantis, went to buy his fourth jet. I ain't got my first airplane yet. What am I doing wrong? You see, this is America today. They want their ills tickered. And now in the Bible, didn't James say they'll keep themselves, teachers having itching ears? Want their ears tickled? I know this kind of sermon is not tickling on people's ears, but I'm not here to tickle ears. I'm here to tell you the truth. What a waste, material things. Yeah, you're right on, Betty. Right on. But you see, that's a lot of people's God today. I mean, we have the name it and claim it churches. Oh, if you're not prosperous, you don't have the keys to the prosperity you got doctrine, do you? Or if you're sick, you must have sinned. You don't believe. You don't have enough faith to get well. Huh. Love you, doggone. If dying is sinful because you wasn't enough faith to get well, nobody be dead. Is this making sense to you, Jonathan? Jonathan's even liking. He's a youngin'. So we're seeing this because we have lost our zeal for Christ. We have lost our courage for Christ. We've lost our first love for Christ. We become a nation, a church, I should say, of lukewarm. Yes, he's a youngster, Betty. You're right. He's just a youngster. we become a nation of lukewarm churchgoers. I call them churchkins. They have churchianity, not Christianity. There's a difference. I know this sounds awful, but I got to say it anyway. I guess it made you mad yet. I'll keep on trying. I have a hard time going to most churches. Because I walk in the sanctuary, I see Christians that look just like the world, wearing the Levi's church with the holes in them, just like they're on the street in the city, or wearing shorts, tank tops, bringing in food and drink into the sanctuary, get up and sing a song, how much you love Jesus, and have no concept of what it means look holy and be holy. See, I have a hard time with that. I'm not the pastor there, so I have very little say in it, but maybe that's why I've been asked to leave churches before. I don't know. But I expect a person that calls themselves Christian to look like a man or a woman, dress like a man or a woman, know the difference, act like a holy man or woman who loves God, loves their family, and wants to walk righteously. Is that too much to ask of the church? Why all of a sudden are we the bad guys? Yeah, concert for 1 hour, 15 minutes of fellowship, and then, yeah, you're right. You're right. That's what Betty said, and she's right. We'll have a sing. We won't have any preaching. Don't want anybody to go away. And tomorrow we're going to have a hot dog dinner, so y'all come. You see, this is, and the producer said, knowing the difference with no consequence. Yep, that's true. Very true. I believe God told us in the scripture in Galatians, excuse me, that he's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow compromise and tolerance, you reap the benefits down the road, don't you? Oh, yeah, you do. That's why your children are acting like hell. That's why your daughters are getting pregnant outside of wedlock. That's why your sons are out whoring around. That's why your sons are drinking, doing drugs. Your sons are both. That's why, preachers, I mean, that's why parents, that's why, because you don't discipline those children. You don't teach them the word of God. You're too ashamed to stand up. You're too afraid you'll offend them. They make you mad and leave home. I'd rather have one of my sons leave home and try to live in my house away than God ungodly. I won't tolerate it. They will left home because I would kick them out. I have no remorse for saying that. I don't feel bad for saying that. I told my boys in my house, if I'm a soldier, can't do anything but use a shotgun, you're going to follow my rules. That offended some people when I said that. I really don't care. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you, Over the Hill. Appreciate the comment. As for me and my house, no, I'm not perfect. Oh, my gosh. You come live with me for a week, and you probably never speak to me again. Again, yes, my wife, Marcia Jean, almost 53 years of marriage. She'll tell you my faults. I promise you. She points out to me once in a while. She really does. But understand this. I don't get it right all the time. That's why I live with grace, under grace, in the blood of Christ. But my heart, my Father knows my heart. I want to get it right. I want to do what's right. I want to live my life so people around me can see that I'm different than other people. Not because it's me, but because Christ in me. One thing I've learned over a lot of years of living and a lot of years of preaching, to let Christ's love show through me wherever I am. When I go into a restaurant, you're right, Greg Nichols said, the righteous man falls seven times, gets up again. You're right. By the grace of God, I get up every time. I may be a little dusty and bruised, but I get up. But I walk into a restaurant and I have a waiter or waitress. I speak to them. They're not just objects. They're not like silverware. They're not just objects. They're people. And they want to know somebody cares. Let them know you care. Say hi to them. Let them know that you know they're people. Ask them how they're doing, how long you worked here. And you'll be surprised. If you show a little bit of care, they'll open up to you like somebody that you've known for 20 years and share their stories. I've got a lot of hugs for the glory of God just for showing the love of Christ. But nobody does. Very few people do, I should say. They don't get it. And around people, I like to see them smile. I may pick them a little bit, may have them smile a little bit, because that's who I am. And if I see somebody I know is living in outright sin and I know we're disobeying the laws of God, I don't throw rocks at them. I try to witness to them. I tell them they're wrong. And what they're doing not only affects them, but affects all society, including my family. And God sees it. If we don't do that, how are they going to know? So obviously, nobody's told them before. They're still doing it, but they just don't care. That's possible. They could be reprobate. You don't know that. But our job as believers, people will understand this. Our job, our duty as believers is to spread the word of Christ and the laws of God without compromise. If you read in Matthew, last chapter, Christ said, I want you to go out to all the nations, disciple the nations, teach the nations my laws, teach them my commandments. What have we taught them? How we had the First Amendment that's only had pornography? We taught them that. How the Constitution gives a woman a right to murder a baby? We taught them that. That isn't true. That's why I said before, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, without morality cannot stand, because they were written for moral people. No man on this earth can save this country until this nation repents. And I don't see it happening. It starts in the house of God. I don't see it happening. No man, no political group, no group of men, no Supreme Court can save America until America repents before God. And it's just not happening. You know, I've been going on now for, oh my gosh, almost an hour. I didn't realize that. But I love y'all, and I tried my best to see, you know, amen. Christ did say that. The blessed are those who are not offended to him. Somebody sent a website, but I missed it. Maybe we'll send again. And if you want to find out more about it, like I said, go to PastorButch.com and check it out. Folks, I'm a nobody. Don't ever put me on a footstool. Judgment starts at the house of God. Amen. It starts right here first in me. If I can't clean my own room up, I'm not going to tell you how to clean yours up. I believe you call that a hypocrite. I think it's time we as believers got on our hind feet, stood up like a man or a woman, with a backbone like a saw log, and say, let the world go to hell. I'm not compromising. You may kill this body. You may take everything I have, but you can't touch my soul. Now, let's face it. We all are afraid of losing our stuff, aren't we? We got stuff. I mean, we got a decent home. We got an automobile. We got Social Security checks. We got Medicaid, Medicare. I don't want to lose my stuff. So if I take a stand, people aren't going to like me no more. And who knows, one day they may kick me off the payroll because I offended somebody. Would you prefer to offend man or God? Which one you prefer? You can't have both ways. You can't serve two masters. You either take it one way or the other. You either hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. You can't do it both ways. Well, I'll just straddle the fence. No, you won't. You try that, you're already on the wrong side. You know, I've been married to my wife, like I said, this November, make 53 years. And, you know, I asked her one time, honey, I've been faithful to you for 53 years. Can I have one woman one night? You know what she said? No. You follow what I'm trying to make out of that? Well, I've served God for 30, 40 years now, so surely he won't mind if I do this. It doesn't work that way, folks. Unfaithfulness in marriage is called adultery, no matter how long it's been you've been married. Unfaithfulness to God is called sin. Is this making sense to anybody? Does anybody understand what I'm trying to say? Thank you, Bruce, for raising your hand. Thank you, Betty, too. I don't want us to say. Well, comments coming in and so, hey, man, amen. Thank you. Appreciate that. I thank you all for those comments. It's like saying sick them to a dog. You know that. I appreciate it. I really do. Bruce wants to speak. Okay, let Bruce speak. I don't know how you do that. Let him speak. Come on in, Bruce. You're going to get choked up.
No, praise the Lord. We haven't heard this in a long time.
Well, thank you, Bruce. That's a shame, isn't it?
It's a shame.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said the church is dead.
Oh, it is. It truly is. Yeah, I don't understand why people attend churches when they're not hearing the gospel preached. They're not hearing the word of God preached. I don't know why they attend those churches. Why do they support them? Why would anybody support a Methodist church that's now took away everything they had against homosexuality? Why would anybody give them a dime? Why would you support a whorehouse? How's that? That's what they are, whorehouses. Anything else you want to say, Bruce?
No, you covered it all.
Well, thank you, Bruce, for saying that. I appreciate that. Yes, and Deanne said they want to feel good and walk out of the church every Sunday. Sure they do. And they probably do feel good. It's still going just as hot in hell for them as anybody else, though. I'm about out of time. How much time I got, Jonathan? About 1 minute. I hope you folks hope I've blessed you somehow. I really do. Hope they'll lift your spirits and maybe by the grace of God help you to give you enough, a little more courage to stand for the truth. If I can do it, if you listen to me speak for an hour with the way I speak, then you understand anybody can do it. I mean, I don't know how else to put that. Like I said, I live down a holler in West Virginia, out in the woods by myself. There are no houses around me, by the grace of God. Got a few head of cattle and a dog and a wife. I got a side-by-side Kawasaki mule and a tractor. I'm really making it big now. Still waiting for my first airplane, though. So thank you, Betty. And so understand that I'm just a man. Don't take what I'm saying as, boy, he's something special, because I'm not. I'm not. All praise. All praise. What part of West Virginia? Somebody, Greg, went up in central West Virginia. If you never heard of a town called Summersville, about 40 minutes north of Beckley, and probably, gosh, I don't know what town north of us, about 2 hours east of Charleston, southeast of Charleston. That's where we are. A little town called Nettie, Nettie. And if you ever want to call the office, I'll be in the office on Thursdays all day long, 9 to 4, talk to people. If you want to call and talk to us, you don't have long distance, you can call 800-777-4403. If you can call long distance, so you save us money if you would, you can call 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. I'm in the office from 9 to 4 Eastern time and on Thursdays to take phone calls, answer questions or whatever. And Crystal's here in the office with me. She's filling orders and doing whatever we can, take donations. We're here for you, folks. I'm not unreachable. I'm a nobody. But Christ is somebody. And I love him. And Jonathan, I know about our time. So you tell me when it's time to quit. It's time to quit? All right, folks. God bless. See you later.